This is Lorne Greene. It's midsummer in the year 1849. Thousands of people and scores of wagon trains have left the eastern states and are heading west. These are the 49ers who've set out to seek their fortunes in the newly discovered gold fields of California. The Blackstone train, passing through what is now western Wyoming, has stopped for the noonday rest. Matty Fraser and Gideon Winslow are finishing dinner beside their wagon. Matty, a salty, independent woman from St. Louis, is going to California to open a hotel. Gideon is a young, college-educated Bostonian who has hired on to help with her wagon. He was a greenhorn when the train left Missouri, but 2 months on the trail have taught him a great deal.
More coffee, Matty?
No. Had plenty, Gideon. Oh, seems like that dreaded wind never stops blowing, don't it?
At least it helps blow away the dust from the trail.
Oh, there's something kind of angry about it. Like it's always nagging at you, trying to wear you down.
Hello, Cal. Any news?
Howdy, get in. Matty.
Howdy.
You got a few minutes to get in?
I guess so, yes.
Cal Duncan, you quit thinking of things to take my hired hand away from his chores.
It ain't me, Matty. Old man Perry needs help again.
Well, why can't you help him?
Well, me and Pa and some others are going hunting. Spies some antelope off to the north.
I'll be glad to give Seth a hand. I can go right now.
You know, I feel sorry for him and Louise. I think they've been having another one of their squabbles.
Squabbles?
Yep. He's too old for a trip like this anyhow. She's pretty strong,
but... Seth Perry ain't that old. I doubt he's even 60 yet.
Oh, but he's always feeling poorly, and he's always needing help. Even his mules don't look none too good. You know, I ain't all that sure he's going to make it to California.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, The Camphor Test by Robert Ellis. Our stars, Marvin Miller, Peggy Weber, Antoinette Bauer, and Corey Burton.
When the Blackstone wagon train first left the frontier settlements and set off into the unknown, its members were a peaceable and friendly group with little friction and no real disputes. But after 2 months of heat and dust and all the difficulties of life on the trail, tempers are shorter now, and angry quarrels break out more and more often. Seth and Louise Perry, eating their noon meal, are enjoying a rare moment of calm. Both are extremely anxious to hide the fact, but their marriage, an older man to a much younger woman, seems to have more than its share of stress.
Is our stock of beans holding up pretty well, Louise?
Guess so. But I'm going to get mighty tired of beans long before we get to California, Seth.
These biscuits are real good, honey.
They're all right.
Well, now, you know I like to give you a little compliment now and then, but I do believe I've got time for another cup of coffee before I...
Seth, look out.
Oh, dear.
Oh, now look what you've done. Knocked over the coffee pot, you clumsy. Oh, why don't you watch what you're doing?
Oh, well, I'm sorry, honey. The handle was hot.
Well, use the rag. Surely you know enough to do that.
Yes, I'm real sorry.
You're the one who's always after me not to waste anything.
I know, honey, I know. And we have to be careful, but I...
And just yesterday, you broke my best mixing bowl.
Now, I didn't mean to. You know that, honey. I wish you'd
be
a little more...
Oh, stop calling me honey. I hate it.
Why, now, that's just a little pet name.
Gideon's coming.
Yeah, well, I'll pick up the coffee pot. Nobody will never know.
Oh, come to think of it, Seth. I need another bucket of water. Oh,
well, I'll get it, honey. You tell Gideon I'll be right back.
Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. I'm going to California with a washbowl on my knee.
Oh, hi, Louise. You certainly sound happy this morning.
I'm always happy, Gideon. Seth's just gone down to the river for water. Everything all right in your wagon?
Oh, yes. Maddie's fine, although she complains a lot about the wind and the dust.
Well, I guess we're all doing that. How come you didn't get married back east, Gideon? You could have brought your wife along with you and settled down in California.
Oh, I'm not planning to stay out there. I'm just going to explore the gold fields. And...
a good-looking fella like you ought to be married.
I probably will be as soon as I get back to Boston.
Got a special girl there?
Yes. We're betrothed.
I suppose that means you wouldn't... Well, it's a pity all the girls here on the train are too young or already married. Otherwise, maybe you'd forget about that girl in Boston.
Well, actually, Virginia Grissom is looking for a husband. At least that's what her mother's always telling me.
Oh, she's so skinny, and her hair looks like hay.
She's a very nice girl.
Well, you can do better than that. What you need, Gideon Winslow, is a woman who will...
Well, hi there, Gideon.
Oh, how are you, sir?
Well, thank you for coming over. Here's water, honey. I'm pretty fair, thank you. Louise takes real good care of me, you know.
I'm sure she does. Cal said you needed a hand with something?
Oh, yes. I'm afraid we got a light in our wagon. Our poor mules are pretty overworked.
We've had to leave a few things beside the trail, too.
It's not pleasant, is it? Mm. Bringing them all this way and then... Well, no use crying over it. Might as well start.
What is that you're taking out?
Well, we got a big, heavy headboard for a bed. Louise was again taking it in the first place. You want to get up in the wagon and head him, Gideon?
Glad to. Here. Can I give you a hand up, Seth?
No, if you don't mind.
There you are.
Thank you. I'm not quite so limber as I used to be. Here's the headboard right here.
Oh, that's beautiful, Seth. It's so elaborate.
Yes. My father carved every bit of that.
It's a shame to leave it behind.
But we don't really need it in California. There's no help for it. If you just help me lift the other end, Gideon.
All right. But this really is heavy.
Sorry. Let's sit here on the back for a minute.
Yes, glad to.
We got to be careful not to break anything now. We don't want Louise getting cross at us, do we?
I can't imagine Louise ever getting
oh,
cross.
Oh, she never does. She never does. Though I probably give her plenty of reasons to.
I doubt that, Seth. Anyway, everybody says you two are the happiest couple on the train.
Well, that's mostly Louise's doing. Well... we've got more work to do.
If I jump down, I can hold the headboard while you slide it out of the wagon.
Oh, good idea, Gideon.
Now lift it down easy.
There. That'll do. You know, chopped up, that headboard would make a 4 or 5 good campfires, wouldn't it? But I couldn't bring myself to do such a thing. I was born in this bed. Somebody else cuts it up. Well, at least I'll never know about it.
Poor Seth. Hurts him to leave that there.
And now all I've got left that belonged to my father is the watch he gave me. I ever show it to you, Gideon?
No. I've seen you take it out of your pocket many times.
Yeah, here, look. He had this engraved on the back. To Seth, for thou art with me.
It's a handsome watch, Seth.
I wonder how many of us will end up beside the trail.
Don't think about things like that.
Oh, did you ever worry, Gideon, you might not get to California?
No, of course not. You shouldn't either.
Well, at least you and my dear Louise are young and strong.
Oh, Seth, you know you'll outlive us all.
It's evening now, and the wagon train is camped for the night. They've covered 9 more dusty miles since noon. Several of the men, Gideon and Seth among them, have gone fishing out along the nearby stream. Mr. Andrew Hollister Blackstone, captain of the train, has called at Matty's wagon.
I suppose I really should be testing my own prowess with hook and line, Mrs. Fraser.
Well, I expect you should, Mr. Blackstone, if you want fish for supper. How come you don't call me Maddie? Everybody else does.
I'm rather old-fashioned, I feel, Mrs. Fraser. I like to pay ladies the respect that's due them. Ah, see, our friend Gideon has had excellent luck.
Well, it's about time you come back, Gideon. It's near dark.
But look at these beauties, Maddie.
I'll clean
them right away, and we'll eat in no time.
Oh. How I wish my duties hadn't kept me from joining you, Gideon.
Won't you take a few of the fish, Mr. Blackstone? There's more than enough.
Why, that's very generous of you, my boy. I was just...
Gideon!
What is it, Louise?
Isn't Seth with you? All the others came back a long time ago.
No, he isn't.
Oh, my. Ever since he left, I've had this feeling that something terrible was going to happen.
Oh, I'm certain he's all right, Mrs. Perry.
Oh, Mr. Blackstone. My poor dear Seth. When he walked away from me tonight, I just knew... I'd never see him again.
Darkness has come on quickly, and a feeling of apprehension hangs over the camp. All available lanterns have been lighted, and most of the men of the train have joined in the search for Seth Perry. They're combing the dense bushes that line the banks of the stream where the missing man was last seen.
We ain't never gonna find nothing in this brush till the sun comes up, Cal.
Don't suppose we are, Willie. No, Seth's probably back at his wagon right now wondering where everybody is.
Seth! Hello, Seth! Hold your lantern over here a minute, Cal, behind this tree.
There. What do you see?
Nothing. Just a big rock. Maybe we better call out again.
Yes, we should. Hey, Seth! Seth!
Over here!
Get in! That you?
Yes! I'm a little upstream from you. Can you see my lantern, Willie?
Yep. Be down in a minute.
Yes!
What is it? Is Seth all right?
No, I'm afraid he's dead.
What?
I found him lying like this, his body on the bank and his head in the stream.
Oh, my. You mean he drowned?
I don't know. I didn't want to move him till you fellas got here. Would you give me a hand with him?
Sure.
Let's pull him out of the water and lay him on his back.
Yeah, I'll take his arm.
Now, if we can just roll him over.
That's it.
Hey, look, Gideon.
Good Lord, there's blood on his shirt.
Seth! Hello, Seth!
Over here, Pete. We found him. Boy, Seth, he deserved a lot better than this.
Quiet, please. Quiet, everybody. I have asked all members of the train to gather here this morning because we have a sad and terrible duty to perform. As you surely know by now, our friend and companion on the trail, Seth Perry, has... I can barely bring myself to speak the word. Has been murdered. The perpetrator of this dreadful deed must be found and punished. This is essential. But out here in the wilderness, hundreds of miles from civilization, we are far beyond the reach of those just and good laws that have always protected us until now. Here, however, there is no police force to help us track down and arrest the criminal that lurks among us. And no courts where he can be tried and duly sentenced.
What are we going to do, Mr. Blackstone?
Well, dear friends, the agreement we all signed when we joined the train calls for us to choose a judge and to conduct an inquiry into any criminal matter that may arise.
Well, why don't you be judge, Mr. Blackstone?
That's fine with me.
All right, if there are no objections, I'd be glad to. Now, I have to remind all of you that our agreement also calls for any party found guilty of the crime to be banished from the train. That's the only serious punishment we can inflict on a transgressor.
That doesn't seem like much punishment for murder, Mr. Blackstone.
I'm sure we can all understand that you feel that way, Mrs. Perry. But we must also keep in mind that our inquiry into the crime might not be perfect, even with our best efforts. And it would be a far greater crime if we were to punish more harshly a convicted person who was later found to be innocent. At the same time, and now I am speaking directly to the unknown person who has brought murder into our midst, at the same time I should point out that banishment from the train can have dire consequences. Other trains will shun any single person on the trail, and we'd be most suspicious of any single wagon. Now, as you know full well, we have not yet reached the most difficult and dangerous stretches of the trail to California. One lone wagon almost certainly would face impossible odds. And one lone person, I need scarcely tell you, could not survive. Now, my own feelings, always subject to your approval, of course, or that we should remain here in this camp until we have made every possible effort to identify the guilty party. Very well. Therefore, in order that everyone will be fully informed, I shall ask our friend Gideon Winslow here to tell us what he has learned from his examination of the body of our departed comrade. Gideon?
Thank you, Mr. Blackstone. As far as I can tell, Seth was killed when someone stabbed him straight through the heart. There's just that one single wound. No bruises, no other marks. And there would be if there'd been a fight. Besides, none of us out there last night heard any shouting or disturbance.
You mean to say, Gideon, that somebody just walked up to Seth and stabbed him dead?
That's what it looks like, Maddie, yes.
Oh, but who would do such a terrible thing?
I wish we knew, Louise.
What other information do you have for us, Gideon?
Very little, I'm afraid, Mr. Blackstone. Seth's head was underwater when I found him, but I believe he was dead before it went into the stream. I think either he fell that way after he was stabbed, or the murderer did it deliberately to make sure he was dead. However, another wagon train may go by us soon, and if they have a doctor, he could tell us much more about it. I'm afraid I can't even guess about the weapon.
Well, all of us carry a knife of some kind.
Yeah, and there's kitchen knives in every wagon.
Of course.
Yes, those observations are quite true. We have, I fear, very little to go on at this point. However, I am obliged to take depositions, I believe they are called, from everybody who has the least knowledge of the case. I will set to work on that task at once. Therefore, we should all meet here again after our noon meal and the inquiry will resume.
Mind if I walk back to your wagon with you, Maddie?
Why, of course not, Louise. Glad to have your company. How are you coming along?
Oh, I don't know. I can hardly believe what's happened.
I know, dear. Must be awful hard.
I thought everybody on the train liked Seth.
And he was so even-tempered. Never got mad.
Yes, that's true. Oh, Maddie, do you think I'll be able to do all the work on the wagon by myself?
Oh, don't fret, Louise. Gideon will give you a hand when you need it, and the other men will help out, too, I'm sure.
That'll be nice. But now I've got to do as much as I can for myself, haven't I?
I suppose so, dear. Well, here we are. I got to get into the wagon and collect the washing. If there's anything we can do, Louise, you be sure to ask.
I will. Thank you, Maddie. But right now... Oh, there is something, come to think of it. I wonder if I could borrow a saw from you. I'd like to make a marker for Seth's grave.
Well, Gideon would be glad to do that for you, Louise.
No, I'd really like to make it myself. There's nothing much else I can do for Seth now.
Of course. Well, let's go around here to Gideon's toolbox. He's got a real good saw. Let's see now.
My, what a lot of tools. Is Gideon a carpenter?
No, but he's mighty handy with repairs. And there's a saw at the bottom here, I think.
What on earth?
What? What's the matter?
Well, look in the corner there.
Why, it's a watch.
Let me see it. It is. Oh, it says watch.
But that don't make no sense.
Oh, I can't believe it. I never even noticed it was missing.
What's Seth's watch doing in Gideon's toolbox?
Maddie, that's a question Mr. Blackstone should ask Gideon, don't you think?
The news that Seth Perry's watch was found in Gideon's toolbox has spread through the camp like wildfire. Mr. Blackstone has reconvened the inquiry into Seth's murder amid loud expressions of shock and anger. Even though Gideon insists he knows nothing about either the watch or the murder, popular opinion is abruptly turned against him. The relentless wind continues to nag at everyone's temper, and the members of the train are anxious to put the crime and its investigation behind them and to resume their journey to the gold fields. Gideon is no longer the friendly and helpful young man whom everyone liked. He has suddenly become the only suspect in the shocking murder.
Now, please, everyone, we must remain calm.
Oh, let's get this over with.
Now, wait a minute. I want to hear Gideon's story.
Well, then start talking, Winslow.
Please, please, let us all be cool and rational. Don't forget the business we are dealing with here is every bit as weighty as the matters that are dealt with in proper courts of law. And we must be careful and correct in all we do. The appropriate procedures must be followed. Now, Gideon, do you have any objections to my asking you questions?
Oh, no, of course not, Mr. Blackstone.
Splendid. It is the discovery of Seth's watch in your toolbox that has put you in this unfortunate position. Can't you tell us anything about how the watch came to be in the box?
No, I can't.
Well, when was the last time you yourself went to the toolbox?
Yesterday morning, I think.
And you never opened the box again between yesterday morning and the time the watch was found there?
No.
Oh, he's been saying that all along.
He just ain't going to tell us.
Let's be orderly, please. Gideon, do you ever lock your toolbox?
No, there's no way it can be locked.
Well, have you seen anyone at the toolbox within the last 24 hours, say?
No.
Mrs. Fraser?
Right here, Mr. Blackstone.
Yes. Did you see anyone at Gideon's tools recently?
No. But it ain't like we stand guard. Anybody could put the watch there without us seeing them.
Yes, that's true, of course. Therefore, as things stand now, at least, it appears to be impossible for us to determine who hid the watch in the toolbox. So for the moment, let us leave the subject of the watch and turn
out... Wait a minute. He ain't said nothing yet.
Gideon, the spot where you saw Seth fishing is the same spot where you later found his body?
Yes. When I found the body, my very first impression was that he was dead. I thought that the instant I saw him. I knelt beside him, put the lantern on a rock, and lifted his head out of the water. His eyes were open. He wasn't breathing. I tried his pulse, and there wasn't any.
What did you do next?
I heard Cal Duncan shouting Seth's name downstream from me. Then I saw his lantern. Willie Howe was with him. I called them over to help carry Seth's body back to camp.
He could have killed myself, Mr. Blackstone. He had plenty of chances. We can all see that, can't we?
Mrs. Perry, please.
He sure looks guilty to me.
Now, why are we wasting time like this? If he's guilty, then let's get him out of here.
What's the matter with all you people? We ain't proved Gideon's guilt.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stop. Stop talking like this. Thank you, Mr. Fraser, for your wise words. What indeed is the matter with the rest of you? Let us remember that not only in the matter of this terrible murder, but in all matters, we are carrying with us to the West our standards of justice and propriety. We are the ones who must transplant the blessings of our
democracy. What Louise has got to say.
Yes, of course. That would be most appropriate. Mrs. Perry, would you mind coming up front here, please?
Glad to, Mr. Blackstone. I've got several things I'd like to say.
Well, yes, we must keep in mind, Mrs. Perry, that facts are what is important in an inquiry of this nature. Now, let us hear about your finding the watch in Gideon's toolbox.
Well, I was walking back to Maddie's wagon with her, and I asked her if I could borrow a saw to make a marker for Seth's grave. I felt I just had to do something for him.
Yes, of course, a touching thought, Mrs. Perry.
Maddie opened the top of Gideon's toolbox and started rummaging around inside, and there it was, Seth's watch, right in the corner.
And you have no knowledge as to how it might have gotten there?
Oh, I know how it got there, all right.
No, Mrs. Perry. I mean, you have no certain knowledge. For example, do you know positively that your husband Seth did not...
It wasn't Seth, or Maddie, or me, or anybody else. It was Gideon Winslow.
He's not guilty to me, I'll tell you that right.
Please, Mrs. Perry.
Mr. Blackstone. It's awful to learn that somebody hated your husband bad enough to kill him. And it's funny, because I thought everybody liked Seth. He was such a kind man, polite and generous and understanding. And all that time he was going around being nice to everybody. Well, I've got a lot more to say, Mr. Blackstone. Things you never dreamed of. Oh, I'm sure about who killed Seth. It was Gideon, all right.
Yeah. You heard her.
Hold on now. Hold on.
Everyone calm down. We all must make an effort.
We got our murderer.
He's the one that killed my Seth. Right there. Gideon Winslow.
Green again, and here's the fourth act of the camphor test.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, these violent outbursts are not helping at all.
We heard all we need to anyhow.
No, let's Twitter talk. Come on, Louise.
Mrs. Perry, I beg you, we must not get carried away by our emotions. The rigors of our journey, this everlasting wind, but... Well, I know you are under great stress. We all are. I certainly sympathize, but your impassioned statements tend to obscure the facts we are all seeking to learn.
I'm truly sorry, Mr. Blackstone, if I'm doing anything wrong. But I can't help it if things I say get everybody all excited, can I?
No, my dear, but do try to stay with what you know to be facts and suppress those ideas you only think are true.
Yes, sir.
Gideon has never struck me as a young man who covets the possessions of others.
Oh, it wasn't just the watch.
Oh?
Even though Gideon did admire Seth's watch, there was something else. Something nobody knows about. I guess the easiest thing is just to come right out with it.
That's usually best, yes.
I can hardly bring myself to say it. Even the idea is so nasty. I know I have to talk about it.
Tell us, Louise. Let's hear it.
I think Gideon killed Seth so he could have me.
Mrs. Perry, what are you saying?
Louise, that's ridiculous.
I don't believe it. She's lying.
Now, Mrs. Perry, this is a shattering revelation. Surely you realize its gravity.
Oh, it's so terrible to have to talk about things like this.
I wish we could spare you this, my dear.
Well, Gideon's always seemed unusually friendly toward me, and I began to feel that he dropped by the wagon only when Seth was off somewhere else. It happens so often that way. He must have planned this.
Please, I don't know what you're talking about.
And then, several times in the last couple of weeks when he found me alone and no one else was in sight, he tried to... Oh, I can't talk about it.
Louise, what are you trying to do? The whole story's a lie. She's lying. I didn't kill Seth. I didn't do any of these things.
Now, just a minute, Gideon. This poor young lady has put herself in the most embarrassing position here in front of the entire train in a sincere effort to give us all the facts.
Hold on, Mr. Blackstone. I got something to say, if it's all right with you.
Well, Mrs. Fraser, well, if you know something...
Yep, I do. I know how to tell right off who killed Seth Perry.
Oh, do you really? Gracious me, I must admit that I'm quite distressed by all the emotion of these last days, and I'd very much
welcome... My late husband died in St. Louis, God rest his soul, was a medical doctor. Did you know that, Mr. Blackstone?
No, I didn't, Mrs. Fraser.
Well, he was. He used to work with the St. Louis police force whenever they had a murder. Figured out a lot of them, too. He always told me, you gotta study the weapon the murder was done with.
We ain't never found the knife Seth was killed with, Matty. How are you gonna study it?
Easy. I figure there ain't nobody gonna throw away a knife, not out here in the middle of nowhere. They're too valuable. So chances are the knife Seth was killed with is still right here, around here in plain sight, probably hanging on the murderer's belt.
Well, that may well be true, Mrs. Fraser.
All we gotta do is see whose knife has got Seth's blood on it.
How are you going to do that?
There ain't no way to do it.
Well, there's blood on everybody's knives. We've been cleaning fish and cutting up antelope.
Cal, I said we got to look for Seth's blood.
But, my dear Mrs.
Well, now,
Fraser...
How are you going to tell Seth's blood from any other blood?
By using the camphor test.
Camphor test? I never heard of anything like
the camphor test? I must confess, I don't know anything about it.
Oh, how's it work, Matty?
Well, my late husband, the doctor, used to take a bit of dried blood and mix it with a drop or two of water and put it on a cake of camphor.
Well, Mrs. Fraser, pray go on. What happened?
If it was animal blood, nothing happened. If it was human blood, it turned blue.
Blue, Mrs. Fraser? You are quite certain of this?
Yep, positive. Shows the difference every time.
Well, the whole idea is crazy.
Well, that's the silliest thing I ever heard of. Why should we bother with that? Here a man tries to break up a happy marriage and then he murders...
A happy marriage?
Why, yes. Everybody knows Seth and I were very happy.
Funny. I seem to remember somebody told me about you two having squabbles.
Squabbles? Seth and me? Never.
Well, what difference does that make, Mrs. Fraser? If you believe your camphor test will help us, then let us...
It'll work.
It'll work all right.
Here, Matty. Here's my knife. Go ahead and test it.
It's crazy, I tell you.
Cal Duncan... You've been pretty loud saying my camphor test ain't gonna work. We can get a cake of camphor in a minute. Won't take no time for me to prove the test'll work. How about you bringing your knife up front here? I'll test it right alongside of Gideon's.
Right.
I ain't going to do that. It's a waste of time. Let's stop all this foolishness. Gideon's guilty. Let's kick him off the train and get back on the trail again.
Now, Cal, if by taking a few more minutes for Mrs. Fraser's test, we can identify the murderer, then I feel we should allow her to proceed with it.
Come to think of it, Cal, it was you told me Seth and Louise was having another one of their squabbles. Remember? How come you knew they had squabbles and no one else knew?
Why, I just... Louise must have told me. Or maybe I overheard them fighting once. Yeah, that's it.
Funny the rest of us never found out. Anyhow, why don't I test your knife up here where everybody can see?
Well, no, I ain't going to do it.
Cal, this is such a simple request.
No,
I really
God,
must...
get out of here!
Hey!
Cal, don't leave me! Cal!
Mrs. Perry, what does this mean?
Cal, come back! Cal, don't leave me here alone!
Seth's marker look all right, Manny?
It looks just fine, Gideon. This is a pretty place for him to be buried in, ain't it?
It is. And I like your suggestion for the epitaph.
Seth Perry, 1793-1849, for thou art with me. You suppose he ever knew about Louise and Cal?
I hope he didn't.
Glad we've seen the last of them. You know, somehow I wasn't surprised when we all woke up this morning and discovered Cal had come back and got Louise.
No, neither one of them stood a chance of getting very far alone. I'm sure they realized that.
Amazing nobody ever heard them drive a wagon out to camp during the night.
They pretty much banished themselves, didn't they?
Just as well, I suppose. Ain't we lucky my husband was a doctor?
We're even luckier no one but me knows you ever had a husband. As soon as you mentioned that imaginary gentleman, I knew something crazy was coming. But a camphor test for blood? We ought to banish you from the train.
Well, it worked, didn't it, Gideon?
Yes. And I thank you for it.
Oh, well... I just...
But blood? On camphor? The whole idea is preposterous.
Yeah. It's so preposterous, I was pretty sure nobody'd ever done it.
I imagine you're right there, Maddie.
Well, goodbye, Seth. Let's hitch up the team, Gideon. We're going to be leaving soon.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, The Camphor Test, was written by Robert Ellis and produced and directed by Ken McManus. Your host was Lauren Green. Our stars were Marvin Miller, Peggy Weber, Antoinette Bauer, and Corey Burton. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear and Sam Edwards. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI. Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by Serta Perfect Sleeper Mattresses and Foundations. For the top comfort and deep support for firmness that feels good. And that's a healthy investment in yourself. And by Wells Lamont Gloves, America's number one glove maker for over 70 years. And still stubborn about quality.
This is Andy Griffith inviting you to join us tomorrow when we bring you another of my kind of show, The Funny Kind.